Coming up, the news with Courtney at 7:45. And hello and good morning to those who are watching this show, either on YouTube or on Twitch. And a reminder that this show and this station on Twitch are presented by Springer's Jewelers, and they are in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Go visit them if you're in the market for a diamond. What is the most popular time of the year to propose these days, Courtney?
I believe early summer is the most popular. I think people are getting away from the Christmas time because then it is considered a gift.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, what, Chime?
No, I was just going to ask, would it be like shoulder season, you think, Courtney? So like early summer,
what
kind
is
of
shoulder
season? Oh, shoulder season's the best.
Courtney has mentioned this before on the program. It's the only reason I know what it is.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
What is it?
It's the shoulders of the season.
Oh.
You know?
Well, I mean, what,
so
what does
it would
that
be
mean?
Like early fall going into, like, if it's when you want to go to a destination like a Nantucket, but it's not the high season, the shoulder seasons, the spring, the fall.
Not quite off season.
Yeah.
The cheap season.
Well, cheaper.
Yeah, just say it
less
way.
People.
Okay, okay, yes.
No, it's usually nicer.
Anyway, go see, if you're in the market for a diamond, go see them at Springer's. They will sell you a diamond for less than anybody else, and they will teach you how to buy a diamond. Shine, let's get to They Said It.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just gonna say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They said it is presented by Ketch's Law. They are honoring those who built this city. So whether they drive or construct or care for others, please nominate them at WeBuiltThisCity.com. That's WeBuiltThisCity.com. Sean, what is up first today?
Well, let's begin with the New England Patriots. Keon White spoke to the media and was asked about Will Campbell. Here is what Keon White had to say about the rookie left tackle.
The biggest thing for Will is his willingness to learn and his ability to sometimes get beat but then not hold your head down. A lot of times when you come in as a rookie, you're going to lose reps. And everybody loses reps sometimes. But guys come in five stars, All-American, things like that, thinking that they're best in the world. And when they face adversity, sometimes they shut down. And that's something that Will doesn't do. He asks the questions. He says, okay, how can I not lose this rep? And he learns and he comes back better.
Okay. Right.
That's a good sign.
Is that encouraging, Wiggy?
Yeah, that's a good sign.
All right.
Somebody that learns from his mistakes, who's talking to those guys. And I remember when I was a rookie in the NFL, one thing I always used to do is I would, every day I would work with Roman Pfeiffer. And it was really for him to get him ready, but I was still learning from him and what causes problems. I would talk to Jumbo Elliott. How do you protect? Like, it's good to see that he's not just talking to offensive linemen, but he's talking to D linemen. He's kind of trying to get as much knowledge as he can to help him, you know, so when he is playing, he can learn, you know, he'll be ready for a lot of those situations. A
lot of gushing about your guy, Jared Wilson, Shime.
Oh, that guy, he might end up being better than Will Campbell. Who knows?
Right?
I mean, he has earned first team reps already. He's knocked Cole Strange well out of the starting rotation, which I kind of love. I'm happy for him. He is ridiculously athletic for an interior offensive lineman. So it felt like he could have success in the NFL. And clearly he is working hard and making a name.
Can't
for himself,
be better than Will Campbell, though. You cannot be. Because that is first year as head coach. That is a giant F on your draft that your number four overall pick isn't better than what round did he get?
Fourth
round pick. Like, you know, Will Campbell has to be the guy. You know what I'm saying? If he's not the guy, then it's, you know.
Okay, but it's a harder position to play, right?
Yeah, but when you're the fourth overall pick, well, same with Drake May. Like, you have to be the guy, and if you're not...
Well, if you're Drake May, you need 500 things to go right, and then you'll have 20 touchdown passes.
If you're not, it's a major, major bust, and it's a major... Like, you think about the criticism that some people have given Bill Belichick. But if you look at Bill Belichick's top 10 picks, and granted, there weren't a lot of them, but generally, they pan out, right?
As a head coach. Gerard Mayo was a top 10 pick.
No, but
player.
I'm talking as players.
I know.
Yeah. I'm talking as players, right? So generally they pan out. It's okay if you miss on a late round, first round draft pick, you still get criticized. But when you're that high, you know, it has to be a home run. No doubles.
I'm concerned somewhat in the way in which the players are going out of their way to pump the tires of Will Campbell. That is, to me, it's not what the inclination would ordinarily be on a football team, especially when everybody's vying to make the roster. And that there's this sort, it's sort of like, I think we might get to it at some point. It's how the Red Sox are pumping up how important the fans are. Like, I don't know. If Will Campbell's good, he's be good. If he's not good, we'll see it. Like, I don't really care how much he cares. It doesn't really matter.
I mean, the one thing that I hear when speaking to negative Patriots fans is that the line is still going to suck. So, I mean, I don't know.
Then that means they think Will Campbell's going to suck this year.
Yeah, well, they're concerned about Moses. Like, he's too old. And, I mean, it has to be an improvement over what you had last season. It just has to be.
Yeah. If it's not, it is a major fail. If it's not an improvement over last year, then it is. Then there are going to be people that are going to sit there and go, well, you could have got this guy in free agency and you could have used your number four overall pick to, whether it's Ashton Jeanty or whatever other position.
Or taking one of the other linemen that might be good.
Right. So that's the thing, because you got to understand, Will Campbell went fourth, and the kid Banks from Texas went ninth. Well, there was two other linemen that went in the top 10. So
you know who's going to be
Membu, I believe.
Yeah.
The upside of the Travion Henderson pick is that he is spectacular in pass picking up blitzes, getting free rushers, and I think that's why he's going to see the field the most, because that'll take some pressure off your line.
Okay, Shine, what's next?
Well, let's stay in football, but let's switch teams in the AFC East, because we heard from Mike McDaniel yesterday talking about Tyreek Hill and the offense and all that stuff. Well, Mike McDaniel showed up to his press conference yesterday afternoon, and, he seems like he's having a grand old time in Miami.
You should stand corrected. Good morning. False. Great morning. Let's go.
Why great? What makes this one great?
Because we're another day closer to death.
Hey,
jeez. Wow. A bit of a somber outlook there on on life.
I don't think he wants to be there.
No, there's no way.
Yeah.
What makes you say that?
He's probably looking at the Tyreek Hill of it all, and he's like, "Get me the F out! I want to sit on my couch."
He's kind of lucky that he has a job, to be honest with you. Like, what? I mean, it's what he signed up for.
Yeah, but as soon as he gets fired as a head coach, Greg, he's going to be an offensive coordinator. He's going to have like his pick of the litter.
Yeah.
Almost immediately.
Right.
Especially if Kyle Shanahan went from being a ball boy or whatever to being a head coach in the NFL.
Right.
He ought to be.
He should be grateful and happy.
He should be grateful and delighted that he has the gig.
He's probably making, what, $6-7 million a year? Right. He's young. And like you said, Shime, he'll go. But if he goes back to be an offensive coordinator, that's it. Like, that's who you are.
He'll get another chance.
No, he won't.
Yeah,
not if it's falling apart like this.
Other guys have gotten a million opportunities. John Fox got like seven.
Yeah, but I was with John Fox. John Fox, we went to a Super Bowl in 03. Like, Mike McDaniel will. I don't know. Will he be considered like Josh McDaniels, and will it take? Will he get another chance in the sense that maybe somewhere down the road?
Like, Wiggy, do you think Cliff Kingsbury is going to get a second chance?
He is a dreamboat.
Yeah, but I think Cliff Kingsbury,
he's not.
And he failed epically with Arizona.
I mean, he's not considered to be some brilliant offensive mind.
Like, Mike McDaniel, yeah, he is.
Not really, Shime.
100%. Like, that was the whole
he's just from
reason
the
he got hired in the first
Shime,
place.
He was hired because he was a bro.
Yeah, from
and
the
like,
Shanahan tree.
No, because he was supposed to be some offensive whiz kid.
No, he's from the Shanahan tree, and Shanahan called the plays in San Fran.
Yes, it's so he's the passing game coordinator.
It's like
I'm aware.
If you're part of the Sean McVay tree, because Sean McVay and the offense looks so good, they then expect, okay, that's who you are.
To be fair, though, the guys from the Sean McVay tree, i.e. Kevin O'Connell, have been good. They've been really good.
Right, but they've called the plays, right? I think when you kind of look at
No, Sean McVay calls all the plays.
No, but then Kevin O'Connell, he's called the plays out in Minnesota.
Yeah. So, yeah, but when he was with the Rams, he didn't.
No, not when he was with the Rams. No, I understand that. But the Sean McVay gets you into the dance, gets you that opportunity, but then you have to perform and produce as a head coach like Kevin O'Connell has been able to do. Mike McDaniel, it started out like, okay, but it's just really went downhill ever since, you know, and just the way he handles the media and the team, like, I think owners are going to start looking at that moving forward. Like, yeah, you might be a great mind at calling plays, but it's like, the ship is on fire and it's going down. But yeah, you're a good play caller. What does that mean if you're the head coach?
Yeah, I think he'll absolutely get another chance, specifically because this team tied everything they had to Tua Tagovailoa. Like, that's mm-hmm. what it ended up being, right? They put all of their eggs in the Tua basket, and McDaniel had to try and build an offense around Tua, and the guy hasn't been able to stay healthy. When he has been healthy, mm-hmm. he's been pretty good.
Well, the only way I would agree with that is he can't go back to San Francisco. He has to go somewhere where he is the play caller.
Sure.
Greg, you know what I would do? If I were Mike McDaniel, I'd take a job in the ACC because he's 4-0 against Belichick.
Yeah, that's kind of the way to go.
Well, Chicken Rice Bowl in the Twitch chat.
What a name.
Would take Mike McDaniel over Vrabel all day long.
Wow.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I'd take him over Josh McDaniels.
That seems negative. I don't like the negativity in there.
Wow. It was cool as shtick in the beginning, but then guys are like, yeah, whatever, bro.
It grows old.
You know, his shtick was the buddy shtick.
Yeah.
I'm your pal. I'm wacky. Right. I'm baked.
Now he's just stoned all the time.
I'm vaping. I'm like, you know.
Then guys get like
I'm wearing chinos.
Yeah. He was like
I got the pants up to my ankles.
He was the cool parents that if you like went over, they didn't care if you drank. Right. You're like, that's who Mike
But it
McDaniel
starts
was.
Out good, yes. But then they're like, man, like this, like, all right, the kids are now getting absolutely ish-faced.
Right.
You know, what are we doing here? You're going to keep giving them drinks.
Down the bong.
It's the same way with Mayo. Like, it starts out good, but then the guys are like, there's no structure here.
The only people that I think really don't get another shot are guys that fail with a quarterback that other coaches succeed with. So if somebody comes in and plays and Tua has an all-pro season and is able to get the Dolphins to the playoffs and win a game, then McDaniel's coaching brilliance is diminished greatly. However, if Tua's Tua and he stays about where he is, then you can't really put it on Mike McDaniel.
Well, he has a bit of a built-in excuse on Tua because it was two seasons, really, where Tua had his issues, right?
Yeah.
Head-wise. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's going to get a little bit of a pass there, I guess.
Right, but I would ask the question, how many, like, when you look at owners, how many of these guys are recycling guys? Like, you know, where you see these guys getting other chances, or it's like, all right, we're going for the new guy. And they go, Chicago went for Ben Johnson.
They're looking at who's coming up instead of who plateaued at the top.
Right. You'd have to have, like, really major success. Vrabel had major success. Dan Quinn had major success because he took Atlanta to a Super Bowl. Aaron Glenn is a new guy. Like, I feel like
Morris is getting a second chance, though. Like, Todd Bowles got a second chance. Like, there's a lot of guys out there that get second chances. There's
seems
only
like
so many new guys that are
right?
interesting.
It seems like the guys that do get second chances, for some reason, are more defensive guys.
Because a lot of the times, those defensive guys have offenses that can't produce, and it's not their fault because they're not the offensive guys.
All right, well. Guess we'll see. Then maybe that might go against Mike McDaniel because he's an offensive guy.
And that would be a perfect landing spot for Bill Belichick down the road.
Miami?
Yeah.
How long is this road? I mean,
yeah. I mean, wherever Bill goes, it has to be next year. If he's back in North Carolina next year, isn't that it? He's probably not going to.
Well, he loves coaching in college, though. I mean,
his dream. He was bored. He said, "Beat Duke."
But if there's not an NFL team that comes knocking,
Bill Belichick is coaching in the ACC. How is that not funny? Unbelievable.
No, it is. It's definitely like a head scratcher. But if an NFL team doesn't come calling next season, then he probably won't be back.
Yeah,
in
we
NFL.
Said that last year.
What's that?
That if the NFL team doesn't come calling, he's done.
He's
years.
Done anyways.
Yeah, no. If they're good.
He's not coming
back
to the NFL.
Song.
No.
Yeah.
If they're good, if they win 10, 11 games, They're good.
You think he's back in the NFL?
If an NFL team comes calling, you think he's not going back to the NFL?
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, but an NFL team's not
I'm just saying
call.
This
you don't. You don't think an NFL team is going to ask Bill if he's interested?
Of course not.
Really?
No.
They've had all... Why haven't they?
Well, because he was kind of blackballed for a little while.
But the blackball doesn't go away.
That doesn't hold water. The owners hate Robert Kraft. Look who's not in the Hall of Fame. So now all the owners are going to listen to Kraft blackball a guy and not sign him? They would do the opposite.
But if you were Stephen Ross, who would you rather have, Mike McDaniel or Bill Belichick?
Mike McDaniel, because you can run him. You operate him.
But see, here's the problem, though. We don't know because Bill hasn't coached. Right, so he sat out for that year as just a TV guy. If he's good this year at UNC and he turns that program around and they win double-digit games, an NFL team might go, damn, we screwed that up not going to get him. Now we want to right that wrong. My thing is if he gets no interest, then that is it. He's probably not coming back. But if he does well and he does get interest, he is going to the NFL.
And he was the one. Belichick's text that he inadvertently sent to Brian Flores is what blew up Brady to the Dolphins in the first place.
We don't talk about that enough, honestly.
It's the biggest, outside of Super Bowl 49, Malcolm Butler's interception, it's the biggest single decision that reshaped the future of the NFL. All the things. You would have had the Peyton and Brady in Miami.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable.
How many years you think he coaches? Like it just,
I would think you want another 5 years.
Okay, so another 5 years, right? So if he does well this year, then that
I mean, you see Pete Carroll at 73 years old out there with the gloves on, right. going after
fit
guys
as a fiddle, baby, munching on that gum. I love Pete Carroll.
Probably another 5 years.
Right. So if it's another 5 years, he does his 1 year in college. If he is successful, an NFL team comes a knocking. That means he got 4 years at some NFL location.
We give him bologna sandwiches and chips and stuff like that.
Curtis, do you think those guys look at Pete Carroll with the gloves on the same way the soccer players look at Tom Brady when he comes to talk to them in Birmingham?
Yeah,
Birmingham.
It's such a weird hire by Tom. And it's also so weird seeing him in silver and black. Like, have you seen those images of him?
Yeah.
It's freaky. But
is a part in that Birmingham docuseries where he finishes, he's doing a game in Dallas for Fox,
yeah,
and he finishes doing the game, and the first thing he asks is whether the Patriots won or lost.
Yep.
Remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
And then
Which
he got on that awkward Zoom with the board of directors.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Shine?
Well, Greg, let's pop over to baseball. Last night, your Boston Red Sox got another win against the Kansas City Royals, 8-5 in that win. Jaron Duran spoke to Tom Caron of Nesson on the field after the game, and made a point to make comments about exactly how electric the fan base at Fenway has been.
What do you say to those fans who have been by your side throughout all of this?
I'm just thankful. I mean, I didn't really take it into consideration. I mean, I try not to stress about it, but for everybody that was behind me, I'm thankful. And as much as they love me, I love them back.
The feeling this place has been building to, what does that make you think about as you look ahead to August and September and what can be here at Fenway?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting pretty loud, and we're not even in the playoff baseball yet, and I'm getting butterflies seeing how loud it gets, so it's exciting stuff. I mean, I think we just got to keep our heads down and keep working because I feel like that's what we've been doing all year and it's showing.
Okay. All right, let's go.
I can't get past Duran's voice. It just don't go with his look and his body.
It's like Dave Stewart.
It's like, when you see him out there, you're like, oh, dude got swag. He's tatted up. He's got the little mullet. It's like, all right. And then you hear him talking. It's like,
remember when Rafael Devers refused to do any post-game interview ever? That was sweet. That was sweet.
No.
Remember that?
And then he did the one the first game in San Francisco.
No. He always waved to us walking into spring training.
Yeah, he's very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, very nice with a wave at spring training because he thought you were a fan.
Ralphie.
That's why.
Unique voice, too.
Uh-huh.
Only when he speaks English.
Yeah, he does.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, Ralphie.
Yeah, it's like higher when he's talking English.
You know that no is the same in English and Spanish, though.
No.
Yeah, I know that.
See.
Is that it, Sean?
That'll do it today, Greg.
Okay, that is They Said It, and the news of Courtney coming up next.